Thanksgiving is, well, it begins the most wonderful time of the year as far as I'm concerned. And I know Thanksgiving was last Thursday, but I get to preach today, so I'm going to preach on Thanksgiving. The title of my message is simply The Attitude of Gratitude. If you would, please turn in your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Again, I want to preach on a thankful heart. And I want you to ask, maybe as you're turning, do you have gratitude? Do you have appreciation? Do you have thanksgiving deep down in your heart? Someone said thanksgiving ought to produce thanks living. It ought to be seen. And again, you can measure a person's spiritual altitude, I believe, by his gratitude. 2 Timothy 3:15, as we read it, keep in mind that these are the attitudes of people in the last days. This is describing the last days. Now, what are the last days? Anytime after Pentecost, we're living in the last days, and I believe we're living in the last of the last days. And as we read this, you can see what I mean. This know also, that in the last days, perilous times shall come, for men will be lovers of their own selves. I am not going to, but I want to stop. Think of that. Think of today. Men will be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. Ever wonder why you're hated because you're a Christian? It's right here. Like everything else, we're living in those days. Despisers of those are good. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness. Doesn't that picture today? Having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful to you, and I believe we're a church of people who are thankful, but help us to be more so. Lord, I pray that you would speak through the message, that you'd give me freedom as I speak, that I would say what you want me to say, and that you would empower what's said. In your name we pray. Amen. Thanksgiving should not be only a day. It shouldn't be a time on the calendar. Thanksgiving should not be turkey and dressing and cranberry sauce, but Thanksgiving should be an attitude of life that every Christian should have. In Colossians 2:7, it tells us that we should abound in thanksgiving. And as you look through the Bible, you see that those believers that lived closest to God were the ones that kept thanksgiving in their lives. Think of Daniel. He could have been bitter. Think of this. As a young boy, he was taken from his family and everything he held dear, drug off to Babylon, and then one day, because of his faith, he had to face the lion's den. Did he pout? Did he feel sorry for himself? If you know the story, you know he did not. But three times a day, he opened his windows and gave thanks unto God. Look at Jonah in the belly of the whale when he finally God got his attention. Even in correction, Jonah said, and I quote, "I will sacrifice to the Lord with a voice of thanksgiving." Now that was in chastisement. I will sacrifice to the Lord with a voice of thanksgiving. If you would like, turn to Philippians 4:4. We know that verse. You might not need to turn. But there was the Apostle Paul. He was a great example of gratitude and thankfulness. And in Philippians 4:4, he says, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice." Now, I know you know this, but I remind you, he was in a dark, damp, smelly prison. Stop and think about the nice bed you slept in last night, the clean sheets, right? The good breakfast you had this morning. And he was in a smelly, dark, cold prison, and he said, "Rejoice in the Lord," and I believe he meant it. Rejoice in the Lord. Again, I say rejoice. But our best example is the Lord Jesus. In Matthew 26, on the eve of his crucifixion, now listen to me, knowing his friends, those who he loved, those who he lived with, were going to turn his back on him, okay? Knowing they were going to take those big thorns and jam them in his head, knowing they were going to take big spikes and put the spikes into his hands and his feet, knowing that, we read, he took the cup and gave thanks. Now, what was the cup? It was juice that represented his spilt blood for us. Now, think about that. He gave thanks. Put it down. Good Christians maintain an attitude of thanksgiving and gratitude. Now, again, you can say, well, I think I, you know whether you're thankful or not. You know. I read a nice illustration from the old preacher, Dwight Talmage. He said a little boy said he wasn't going to pray because he didn't have anything to pray for. He had everything that he wanted. And his mother sat him down and taught him about thanksgiving. And the boy started praying, and he thanked God for his marbles and his top. He thanked God for his mother and his father and his food and nice clothes. He really got into it, and when he got through, he said, "Mama, I almost forgot how good God is." And I think we do that. It's sad when we forget how good God is. That's why the Bible shows us our obligation of thankfulness over and over again. I like the song we sang at Thanksgiving morning, "Count Your Blessings." Name them one by one. That is as scriptural as any song there is. And you say, okay, I was there, but I didn't want to give a testimony. I'm not going to judge you, but it ought to be bubbling up in you. You ought to be saying, wow, we shouldn't have just 1 hour testimony. We should have 3 hours of testimonies. I know I thoroughly enjoy it. Turn to Hebrews if you'd like. But in Psalm 101 we read, "Forget not all of his benefits." Write them down. Sit down, list them. In Psalm 100, the Bible says, "Enter into his gates with thanksgiving." It's throughout the Bible. And in Hebrews 13, verse 15, we read, "By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name." Now, what's it saying? We ought to live a life being thankful. Thank you, Lord, for my friends. Thank you, Lord, for the breath that I have. And you get tired of me talking about being old, but I have done this all my life, but especially now that I'm older, I wake up in the morning and I say, "Thank you, God, for life." Now, I want to go to heaven when I die, and I don't want any extraordinary things to keep me alive. But at the same time, I'm glad for breath to breathe and the physical ability. And I pick on John Hall because he's older than I am. But you know what? The point is, 4 years older, I believe. I like telling my age. His wife doesn't like me telling his age. But the point is, John ought to be thrilled that he's, whatever, 75 years old. He gets up and goes to work every day and gets to live a normal life. Amen? And we all ought to be that way. Not just because we're older, but because God is good, and we ought to be thanking Him and praising Him with our heart and our lips. What is the big sin in America today? I hate abortion. That's one thing. We're going to answer for the blood of those millions of children. I hate homosexuality. Well, you say you're not supposed to. Oh, God hates homosexuality. I hate it. It's destroying our country. Well, what is the sin of our country, though? Is it rebellion? No, the answer is found in our text. Paul gives us a picture of those last days and what it'll be like. And right in the middle of the description are a pair of sins that are the epitome of the rest. And that's being unthankful and unholy. That's what causes abortion. That's what causes homosexuality. Turn to Romans 1. I believe unthankfulness produces unthankfulness, listen, produces unholiness. One is the cause and the other follows. And when a nation becomes unthankful, it becomes unholy. And when a home becomes unthankful, it becomes unholy. Think about it. When a church becomes unthankful, it becomes unholy. And when a person, an individual, becomes unthankful, it becomes unholy. God says of the Roman Empire in Romans chapter 1, verses 21 and 22, because that when they knew God, listen, they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but become vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. What is that? Humanism. That's what it is. It's humanism. We don't need God. God's a crutch. And the cause was that they were not thankful. Now, our forefathers were thankful. Sometimes people don't understand why we American Christians love our American heritage. Now, if I just came to America right now, I wouldn't like it much. But I love our heritage. Our forefathers came over in little boats, 1/100th the size of ships today, just bobbed over. And I don't care what the liberals say, they came over for freedom. Freedom of religion, freedom to raise their children according to the Bible. Now, in Jamestown alone, 4,000 out of 5,000 of the first people that settled there died of disease. Now think of that. 4 out of 5 of your friends, 4 out of 5 of your family died. But they were thankful. Okay? They were thankful because they could raise their family according to the Bible. They were thankful because they could own their own land and they had free speech. Today, so many don't think they need God. In America, they don't think they need the Bible. They don't need prayer. They don't like to sing Christian songs. They're too dull. No dependence on God. Again, what is that? Humanism. Humanism. We're told that those who wrote the Constitution wanted this. That's what we're told, right? That's according to... No, it's not. Now get mad at me if you want. That's what's good about being old. You don't care. This is the truth. This country was not founded upon Hinduism or the Muslim religion, or the African religion, or the American Indian religion. This country was founded on this book, and this book alone. And that's why it was a great nation. That's why we had a great nation. And until we get back to worshiping God, we'll never see His blessings again. I don't care whether Democrats or Republicans are in. Look at the Bible. Nations fall because of unthankfulness. That was the problem that Israel had. God had opened the Red Sea for them. God had given them manna from heaven, just dropped down. You say, man, if I had manna from heaven, I'd be happy. No, I don't think any more than them if you're not right with God. God just dropped quail, plop, plop, plop. God made it so that their shoes didn't wear out and their clothes didn't wear out. And we read they were a nation of murmurers and gripers. And because of that, God killed thousands of them, and their carcass laid out in the wilderness as far as you could see. Unthankfulness produces unholiness. The same thing happens in local churches. People become unthankful, and then they become unholy. That's what happens. And pretty soon churches, I remind you, the first church that I basically pastored was a Methodist church. I'm a Baptist, always was. I can't go into it, but it was what's called a Southern Methodist church. And I preached just like I preach now. Understand? Can you imagine me preaching in the Methodist church here? Churches have become unthankful and become unholy. Look what we have. Look at this auditorium. Step over there and look at that building. Some of our kids, they just think they expect to have that there, indoor pool and that big gym and all that type of thing. 60 plus acres. Look at it. That very thing could destroy this church. It's the blessing of God, but that very thing could destroy this church. Even more than things, we get to have a good sermon preached to us 3 times a week. We have a Christian school. We have so much, and yet people will gripe and complain about that Christian school. Or they'll gripe and complain about the sermons. Unthankful. And it'll lead to unholiness. Let's be thankful. Because I'll tell you what, if a good number of us ever become unthankful, Fairhaven Baptist Church will become unholy. That's the order of Scripture. Oh, Bob Jones Sr., and you hear me complain about Bob Jones, but he was a great man. Don't blame it on him. He was a great man. He used to say the loveliest flower that grows in the heart of man is gratitude. And when it dies, that man is as much as gone. R.G. Lee used to say about ingrates, trust him with your money and he'll steal it. And that's a fact. Trust an ingrate with your honor and he'll destroy it. Trust an ingrate with your name and he'll ruin it. Unthankful people are unholy people. And my message is simple today. Stay thankful. Stay grateful. Now I want to review with you some points about thankfulness. Turn to Philippians again if you'd like. Back to Philippians 4, verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. Be careful for nothing. Don't worry about it. But by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. Now, Psalm 100. Again, I can read these. Psalm 100. 4. Listen, though, if you don't turn. Enter ye in the gates with thanksgiving, and unto his courts with praise, and be thankful unto him, and bless his name. The Bible's just full of that, over and over and over again. Psalm 147, verse 7. Sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praise upon the harp unto our God. It's sinful not to be grateful. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 reads, in everything give thanks. For the bitter, you get that? Everything. For the bitter and the sweet, the hard and the soft. Now, it's easy to be thankful for a big Thanksgiving dinner with all your friends. I'm like some of you. I just gain weight, lose weight, gain weight. I've gained 7 pounds in the last couple weeks. Whew. And I thank God for every calorie, man. But I'll tell you, it's easy to be thankful for a new car, for a nice clothes and a nice home. But it's hard to be thankful for a heart attack or cancer or bankruptcy. It's hard for me to take when I hear one of you have cancer. It's hard for me, and I can imagine what it's like for you. But God commands, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Now, it's human not to be thankful for dread circumstances. But if we're going to expect God's blessings, if we think we're going to succeed as Christians, we have to do it God's way, and that is in everything give thanks. Again, we ought to wake up in the morning, thank you, God. Thank you, God. I have hundreds of times. Thank God for the nice bed. When I'm out preaching, you think, oh, that's great staying in motels. But if I'm in a nice motel with a nice bed, I say, thank you, God, for this nice bed. Thank you, God, for the good food. When we have our devotions, thank you, God. I think I've seen people through the years in this church. My house isn't nice. Look at this house over here. Or my car is junk. I wish I had. Or I don't have friends. They're snobs. That kind of person gets bitter and jealous and hateful. I don't mean it. I can just say in my life, I believe what I'm preaching, the more thankful you are, the more God takes care of you. And there's just a couple things I can say that I've been, not much, but I can say I've been thankful. And I remember the first car we had. I think it was 12, 14 years old. It had a new nice paint job. But it was a convertible with no top. And we bought it in January, I think. And in order to start it, Sharon had it had a couple carburetors. It was hot. Not really. But she had to put her hands on the carburetors. Get the suction going to start the car. I thought it was, and Sharon will tell you, I thought that was the nicest car. She'd always get mad because I carried a picture of my car and not of her. And the apartment we rented, the first apartment, it was like a two-room. I look at it now, it was really nothing. It was just kind of a partially built house. And again, you old guys, remember how we used to get glasses for buying gas? You'd go in there and you'd get glasses and steak knives, plastic steak knives. And that's what we had. And we still have pictures of it. It was so wonderful. And the first suit I owned, I got in Maxwell Street. It was $15 for two pair of pants and a vest. And I thought I was the cat's meow, man. It was really something. Now, the point is, you can call it bragging, but I was grateful. I loved what I just thought I couldn't have it any better. And I think God looks down and says, man, if he thinks that's something, I'm going to show him. I believe the keys to God's blessing is obedience. Yes. And thankfulness. And being generous yourself. I don't have time to preach on the other ones. But I've watched people say, man, they have so much I don't have, and I'm not treated right, and I'm going to get mine. You may get yours, but you won't get his. Thankfulness should be natural. Just as natural as breathing. You don't have to think about it. Just as natural as your eyes blinking. It's natural for a bird to fly and a fish to swim. But for an unsaved person, it's not natural, is it? We have an Adamic nature that's ungrateful, and that's why we're commanded to be thankful. Watch yourself. Ask yourself, are you thankful for your job? Are you thankful for your home, for your mate, for your mom and dad, for food, for country? Free election still. Count your blessings, name them one by one. It'll change your life. It'll keep you holy. Second, if the Bible commands gratitude, then it's possible to have it. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. Now, some are saying, at times, I'm not thankful, and I don't mind admitting it. I don't mind admitting I'm human, and it's natural. But you're not a spiritual Christian, you're not a scriptural Christian if you're not thankful. Romans 8:28, we know it, many of us, by heart. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. The bitter with the sweet, the hard with the soft, everything in life that's negative works with the positive. Turn to James 1. If you're saved, God is putting everything together for you. If you're saved and right with God. We don't know what he does. Understand that. We can be thankful because we have a sovereign God, and he does know everything, and he's working out everything in our lives for eternal glory. In James 1:17, it says, every good gift, every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Notice the distinction between good and perfect. Good is food, clothing, shelter. Perfect may be a Job experience. It may be he takes everything away from us. Now, nobody likes going through Job experiences. And I'm certainly not saying that I have experienced Job experiences. But I'll tell you, the very hardest things in my life, the things that I thought couldn't be good, as I look back, were the best things ever happened to me. God allows some things in our lives that we would never choose so he can conform us. You get that? That's the only way God could take this bullhead and conform me to his image. And when we run from these things, we get off track and out of his will and living in the flesh. It's so sad to see so many Christians living with no peace, no wisdom, no more wisdom than the world. You talk to some Christians, no more wisdom than the world. We must be thankful for all that God gives and just make sure we're in his will. You've heard about Adoniram Judson in the old dirty, smelly prison, half starving. But he was always pleasant. Somebody came around, he always had a smile. And somebody asked him, "What about your future?" And he said, "My future is as bright as the promises of God." A preacher was talking to one of his members, and I like this one. And he said, "How are you doing?" And he said, "Well, fine under the circumstances." And the preacher says, "What are you doing under there?" And I would say to some of you today, what are you doing under there? Remember, all things work together for good. In everything, we're to give thanks. Yes, some things seem unfair, and we don't understand them, but trust God, and we will understand it someday. Then gratitude is the basis of all true worship and service. How many do you think really worship God? Only those with gratitude. It's the only way you can worship him. God will not accept worship or service that's not thankful. Again, Psalm 100, verse 4. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. This is what he wants. This is what he accepts. An old woman had a habit of every time she ate anything, she would just say, "Much obliged, Lord." And someone asked, why do you say that all the time? If you just eat a cookie, "Much obliged, Lord." She said, "It just makes me feel good." Try it. Your mate, your friends, your country, your food, your job. "Much obliged, Lord." Now, some of you got yourself into a deep hole of sin. You think you've ruined your life. Try it. "Much obliged, Lord." It'll make all of life taste better because it's the only way you can be in the will of God. The reason that life seems bitter to many Christians is that they're proud, they're grabby, they're wanting, they're not satisfied. They never have their due in their eyes. People never understand their greatness in their eyes. And they become more and more bitter. But quickly, gratitude is the parent of all of God's gifts, and ingratitude is the father of all our sin. I believe if we were only thankful for all that God gave, and I know I'm repeating myself, just like a human father, he'd give us so much more. Some of us can't handle good things. The more excited a Christian gets about life, the life that God gives him, the more blessings he'll shower down. Man, you think how much you love your mate. And because you love your mate, you're going to show your love. You're going to be a right mate yourself. And God's just going to make things better. Same thing with your children. If you're just thankful for him giving you children, and you just say, man, I'm going to do my very best with these children to raise them for God. It'll get better and better. It just gets better. Your friends, if you're thankful, you treat them good, you're going to get more friends. Your job. Hey, I don't care what your job is. I've had every kind of job in my life. Every kind of job. Be thankful for the job. You've got an income. And I guarantee you, if you're thankful and you work as unto God, you'll move up. You'll get a better job. That's how it works. I can't believe how some treat what God's given them. Their family. Man, oh, I'm just married to a crab. Or man, I don't want to rock the boat. And man, I hope my kids don't embarrass me. That's the wrong way to look at it. Your friends, man, everybody's out to get me. Or your job, man, they don't recognize my talent. That's sin. And you'll not be a soul winner. You'll not give what you ought to. You will not raise your family the way you ought to. Only with gratitude can you truly serve God. Gratitude. And if you're not thankful, you'll fail. And when you'll fail, you'll blame other people. If you're not living for God and your relative is, maybe your brother or your sister, they'll hate you. And you'll just be a bitter old, bitter person. It's the same in anything in life. You'll blame your church. It's the church. It's the youth pastor's fault. I've seen that for decades. It's your friends. The most miserable person on earth is an ingrate. He's proud, he's pointing fingers, he's making excuses, and he's sinking deeper and deeper in the miry clay. Let's be thankful. We teach our children, somebody gives them a piece of candy, you say, now say thank you. What if for some reason the church wanted to give Dr. Vogelin $1,000, and I called him up here and I gave him a check for $1,000, and he just turned his back and didn't say thank you. You say, what an ingrate. When's the last time you thank God for your breath, for your health, for your children, for your mate, for your shelter, for your food, for your friends? The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Ingratitude is a sin against God. And thankfulness is the mother of all sins. Griping and complaining. We hurt God when we don't express our gratitude. Remember the 10 lepers? God healed all 10. Only one came back. It's hard to believe. And listen to Jesus when he says, where are the 9? And I think he's saying that about some in here this morning. Where is Joe? Where is Sally? Where are they? I've done so much for them. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, and boy, we thank you. You have blessed this church and blessed us mightily. But Lord, as individuals, I'm afraid some are not thankful. There's nothing bubbling up inside. Might be academic, but there's nothing bubbling up inside saying thank you. Help them to understand. Until that bubbles up, they're never going to see what you want to give them. Lord, I pray that you'll deal with hearts, and I pray that you'll bless the invitation. In your name we pray. Amen. Please stand at your seats with your heads bowed and eyes closed. I did not preach to those that don't know the Lord as their Savior, but I'll tell you what, I go back to him dying on the cross and shedding his blood for you. If there's anybody that should be thankful, it's somebody who realizes God died for you, and the best thing you can do is come and receive him as your Savior. I preach to Christians, if God dealt with you, don't stand back and make excuses and say, well, I guess I should do something about it. Start doing something about it this morning. Come if God's dealt with you.